Hello, welcome to Leading the Way at Leonard's, and I'm your host, Dwayne Knepper. Today, we'll be talking about environmental sustainability and the importance of reducing pollution from heavy-duty vehicles. And as always, riding shotgun with me is Leonard's Express CEO, Ken Johnson.
Thanks, Dwayne. Good to be here, as always. Being environmentally responsible is one of the key values that Leonard's holds. We want to be a good corporate citizen. You know, we want the image of our company and our industry to be positive. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, how we run our company from an environmentally friendly perspective. The industry is under a lot of pressure to reduce emissions. And that really goes back to 1994 and has continued, decades. And, you know, we've got some more changes coming we'll talk about here in a little bit. But, you know, right now I want to introduce Kevin Adrianson, who's joining us, and he's going to address some of these issues. Kevin is our VP of operations.
Good morning, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Kevin, you can't have a conversation about sustainability in our industry without talking about electrification, as Ken had mentioned. How is Leonard's Express using electric trucks to lower greenhouse gas emissions and promote cleaner air?
Well, Dwayne, we're not there yet. I've been around this business a long time. You know, it started in the 70s with trucks that blew black smoke and, you know, get four miles a gallon. We've been able to change our fleet with lots of new technology that has got us up to our fleet up to close to 8 miles a gallon. On the electric side, we're surely testing it. We have some opportunities, of course, at the Delaware operation with yard trucks in our warehouses here in Shortsville. But as far as over the road, the technology is not there yet. We can't get the mileage out of it. But we're testing, seeing where we're going to go with it. We're going to have to, there's surely going to be some mandates that's going to make us use some electric vehicles. You know, we're going to be to, there's some 2024 EPA mandates coming out, and then it's going to change again in 2027. It's putting a lot of pressure on the OEMs to build vehicles that, are low emission vehicles. So it's going to be a bit before we're there. There's surely other issues, around, where are we going to get the power to charge these? There's issues with battery size and weight, you name it. It's going to take some time, but it's coming, and we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I just saw an article today that there were going to be two competing plants that are going to establish themselves here in the U.S. I guess they were Japanese about building batteries. These are, again, for some of the electrical cars. I don't know if you guys heard that as well, but.
Yeah, I think right now the batteries are the biggest challenge, both in size and weight, and capacity. Quite frankly, from a security standpoint, a lot of the battery and materials used to make batteries is imported. There needs to be some work done in domestically to secure the future there. And that leads into our next conversation on some of the legislative trends that are going on. We operate as a company in all 48 states, which makes it difficult with individual states put out mandates. California has been leading the way with their California Air Resource Board. They've got programs in place that dictate an increasing percentage of vehicles sold in the state, and they're coming out with rules that'll increase the number of vehicles purchased for both individuals, for their personal use, and companies with their commercial use. So the number of electric, and we say electric, it's really zero emissions, because there may be technology that comes that's takes us down a different path from electric. And quite frankly, I think for our industry, that's probably where we're going to be heading. Hydrogen comes to mind. You know, there's a lot of research being done with hydrogen fuel cells, which may make the long haul, medium haul over the road, the fleets that don't return home every night, maybe a better solution. But, New York follows a lot of the individual requirements as well as the commercial requirements that California puts out, as do several other Northeast states. But there's a lot of country in between, the East Coast and the West Coast. And a lot of those states have different priorities, a different way of looking at some of these things. So it kind of makes it challenging for us. But one of the things that has come out recently in March of this year, the EPA put out a proposal that will put out stronger standards on the diesel engines that we run in our trucks. The first one is 2027, but the overall goal, would be to reduce the amount of smog, soot, nitrous oxide coming out of our trucks by 60% by 2045, which that's 60% over what they are today. It's not 60% from where they started back in 1994 when I first started seeing and was involved with some of the earlier rules that the EPA had put out to reduce the emissions of our trucks. It's kind of funny because the joke within the industry is there's probably parts of the country where our trucks emit cleaner air than they take in, because they've done a good job. The industry's done a good job. The manufacturers have done a good job of putting out technologies that have reduced it. But there's still room. And we talk about the electrification and hydrogen, but we're going to need to bridge fuels, whether it's clean diesel, different technologies on the engines and the trucks. I hope they do a better job going forward than they have in the past of giving the industry time to vet these technologies. Because Kevin and I have both been around trucks, for a fair number of years, and some of these EPA mandates have not always been good for us. They've resulted in downtime. They've resulted in lower fuel economy. I think some of the things they're working on are good, but we also need to make sure we're not putting trucks out on the road that aren't reliable.
Yeah, a little more disgusting is the I think I heard something about algae blooms, that green stuff that grows in the swimming pools that aren't well maintained, using that as some form of fueling apparatus. But anyways, Kevin, our industry focuses a lot of attention on electric engines, but there's a great opportunity with electric refrigerated trailers too, right?
That's correct. We're not there. We started a test where we're going to be part of a test that we started last March, I believe, with the supply demands that have been up. Unfortunately, the program that we're working with has not been able to get a trailer. I think it'll work for us. We'll have to, again, test it and use it in specific lanes, but it'll be an electric unit with a battery pack. It'll have solar panels on the roof. And then there's Dana has an axle that actually helps regenerate the batteries that's going down the road. I guess we're hoping to see that yet this year, but the year is going by fast. I've not had any updates since about a month ago when I checked on it. But they're telling me that we possibly could see a couple of them trailers yet this year.
Kevin, that's not the only innovative technology we're using to improve business efficiency while supporting sustainability goals. Can you talk about how we're doing this with other reefer trailer technologies?
We surely are testing, not testing. We were the first ones on board with the Wabash composite trailer. We tested that for them. Being that it's sealed up nice and tight, it's given us, we're using less reefer fuel than we did before. It gets down to temperature, it maintains temperature. Surely a unit running it at an idle is way better for emissions than running at high speed.
Yeah, the our program with Wabash is it's been very successful. We, as Kevin mentioned, we were one of the earlier adapters, and for a while, and we may still be one of their larger customers with this technology. But it really made all the sense in the world. The keeping the trailer at a steady temperature without the introduction of external forces like heat and cold from the outside, the ambient temperatures. It made all the sense in the world in eliminating ways, for those temperatures to invade the trailer and force the refrigeration unit to work harder and use more fuels. It's a partnership we're proud of. And, because of that, we made a video with Wabash that, we're going to play now.
Today is 90 degrees here. We've got a load of ice cream on there. We got to make sure it stays at minus 20. So with the Wabash trailer, it's pretty easy for us to manage that.
At Leonard's Express, we are on the cutting edge, the forefront of the technology and what's new in the industry and what's coming down the road.
We pride ourselves on running, top of the line equipment, new equipment, and equipment that's holding temperature reliably.
Moving refrigerated goods poses many challenges. Not everybody can do it.
We cover 48 states, different times of year, different commodities, and most of what we haul is fresh. Thermal efficiency is very important to us because trailers need to be able to hold temperature within a tenth of a degree, and we've invested in in the technologies to be able to track that.
Our company is always looking to do something innovative that's better for us. It's going to make us better for our customers.
Wabash is not satisfied with the status quo, and neither are we.
They came to us with this product to see if we wanted to test it.
Being part of the pilot program helped us make the decision to purchase the trailers going forward.
Having the most efficient refrigerated trailer certainly benefits us as a company. We're looking at different ways we can lower our carbon footprint, operate as a good corporate citizen. Lowering fuel usage and reducing emissions is a big part of that.
So the thermal efficiencies of the trailer are very important to us.
The Wabash composite reefer takes a lot of the variants that we used to deal with in the old style trailers, out. It eliminates the wicking of the cold air from the outside in, or the hot air from the outside in, and allows the reefer unit to run more efficiently and hold the temperature better.
It'll stay cool even with the sun blasting right on it. There's lots of positives with this product. Our uptime is much better on them. Thermal efficiency is better. Our fuel cost is less. It's pretty bulletproof. It's easy to fix, easy to maintain. The flat bottoms, we don't have the corrosion that we had. There's no place for snow, salt to catch. You can gain 500-600 pounds. This flat bottom on this trailer eliminates that problem.
Wabash is a great partner to us.
Very supportive. If we have a problem, I can get on the phone and I have an answer within minutes. Time is money. Downtime is way less just because of their support. We're pretty proud of our fleet and the way things look.
It takes reliability in our equipment.
We've got 100 plus of them now with more on order. So they've done very, very well for us.
Well, that was a great video. I'll tell you one thing, Kevin, when you were given that weather report at the very beginning of it being 90 degrees, it instantly my mind felt like, well, he's saying it like it was really hot that day. But anyways, Kevin, Leonard's Express established a sustainability committee not more than a couple years ago. Why did we take this step, and what type of work is the committee focused on?
Well, it's not only just our equipment, it's our buildings, it's what we do, our garbage, our lights, right down to the coffee cups. We got away from using styrofoam, we're using a reusable paper cup. So there's a lot to it. I could go on and on and on. We monitor how much paper we use. you know, there's, you name it. I guess I could, I'd have to really think about it, think of all the things that we've done in the last couple of years to help us.
Yeah, we're seeing some of the new containers there.
You know, the sustainability committee is, you know, there's a lot of reasons to have them. One, obviously, as Kevin mentioned, you know, our trucks attract a lot of attention from within our organization, rightfully so. They're, you know, they're a, you know, big part of what we do. You know, they're the out on the road, front and center to the public of what we do. But there's a lot of things that go on in our buildings, you know, whether it's our warehouses or offices or our shops, you know, where we can make an impact, you know, and that's where a lot of the things started with the sustainability committee. But, you know, the, you know, one of the other reasons it's important is as an industry and as a company, we need to track, you know, people. You know, we takes a lot of people in our industry, both from, you know, the on highway as well as the off highway personnel. And we need to attract younger people, and younger people, you know, this matters to them. And, you know, being involved with a company that is doing the right thing, you know, which has always been our motto of wanting to do the right thing. This is just another part of that. And, you know, and, you know, and it's, you know, something that was easy to say yes to, you know, when they, you know, the subject first came up, because, you know, some of the things that we're doing, they're easy to fix. You know, it's, you know, it's not hard. It's not hard to switch from styrofoam to paper cups. It's not hard to read something on a screen rather than print it. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can make a difference. You know, small difference, but when you add them all up, it's a big difference overall. You know, so you know, it was pretty easy to you know, put this together, and you'll continue to look at opportunities for things that we can do to improve how we affect the environment. And, you know, as a company, it's absolutely the right thing to do, and we should be doing more of it.
Yeah, as you said earlier, Kevin, it's trying to be responsible corporate citizens, and you know, thumbs up here on these initiatives. You know, Kevin, you recently attended the Trucking Association of New York's Clean Trucks New York conference. What were your most important takeaways from that event?
Well, I guess, you know, at this point, it's surely our infrastructure is a huge, is under a huge undertaking. You know, we surely could go forward with what we need to do to get us better, but there's going to be a lot of work with the infrastructure to get up to speed. You know, I'm sure there's going to be some legislation around that. This does not come at a cheap cost. Electric trucks are three times the cost of a standard truck. You know, there's some grant money out there. You know, unfortunately, in the area that we're in currently, that's not available to us. You know, they're designating that to the ports. You know, that would help take care of some of the pain of going over to electric. That's for sure. It's, you know, other things, you know, we're one of the CARB states. You know, currently there's eight states that run under the CARB laws. You know, California being a leader, New York is right behind them. You know, people think this is going to happen overnight. Well, it's going to take some time. I don't think I'll see it before I retire, but I'm hoping to live long enough to see it, put it that way.
But you do.
There was people there from all over the country. It just wasn't New York. There were surely some concerns. There's definitely a place for electric vehicles. You know, the garbage trucks, the school buses, you know, businesses that can, you know, local businesses that don't run, you know, over 300 miles a day. So we're in line to help fix this, but it's going to be a long time.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned before, as we were conversating before the show, the research I was looking into from the EPA about the transportation industry being a leading contributor to the greenhouse gas emissions. And if I didn't think it was serious, and it is, certainly the agriculture department as well, with cow flatulence also being a contributor to that, it makes you smile. But it's all about doing a better job, and of course Leonard's is positioning itself to do what it can, where it can, as often as it can. You know, Ken, last December, Leonard's Express was recognized by Heavy Duty Trucking Magazine as one of America's top green fleets. How important is this type of recognition by such a premier publication?
Well, certainly anytime we're recognized, you know, it's feels good, you know, as a company, makes us proud. But, you know, this is one that, you know, it says you're on the right track. You know, when it comes to an industry that has its challenge, you know, environmentally, I mean, we rely on diesel engines, you know, overall, you know, but we're able to do other things to minimize our impact. And, you know, and us here at Leonard's Express, you know, are doing, you know, the right thing, whether it's, you know, trying, you know, other alternative fuels, or, you know, looking at devices for our trucks to lower the emissions or improve our fuel economy. I mean, certainly lowering the emissions is a large part of the conversation when it comes to being an environmentally friendly fleet. But, you know, if you use less fuel, you're going to emit less, you know, from the trucks, you know. So, you know, we're finding ways to improve our fuel economy, certainly goes a long ways to improving our carbon footprint, you know, and it, you know, being open-minded to trying different things. You know, I think, you know, we try not to be way out there on the edge at Leonard's. You know, we're putting ourselves at any type of service failure for our customers, or, you know, our drivers in any type of unsafe, but we want to know what's out there. You know, we want to know what's coming. You know, we want to know what impact it's going to have on us here, as well as the impact on the communities we operate in. So, you know, receiving that award, you know, kind of validates, you know, some of the things we're doing, you know, that we're on the right path, and, you know, and certainly, you know, makes us proud. You know, and I was really, you know, impressed to be on that list, because, you know, there's some big companies on that list. You know, PepsiCo's on there, Anheuser-Busch is on there, UPS, Schneider, FedEx, you know, some of the larger fleets is on there. So to be a part of the group that was named, you know, certainly, you know, says a lot about, you know, the people here at Leonard's Express. So it makes me proud to be a part of that.
It does. You know, you know, Ken, earlier this year, and I saw this, you appeared on FreightWaves Net Zero Carbon Show. You may have hit on some of those highlights already. And you talked about opportunities for fleets to reduce their emissions. Can you share some of the highlights that you, excuse me, had from that conversation?
Yeah, sure. You know, we were just talking, you know, with the folks that run that, you know, I guess you'd call it a video show that's put out on the FreightWaves platform. You know, and it was an opportunity to share some of the things we're doing here at Leonard's, you know, some of the reasons, you know, that we won the award we were just talking about. You know, certainly anytime, you know, I can put Leonard's out there, you know, and share what we're doing in a positive way, that's a, you know, it's a great opportunity. You know, some of the things we talked about was, you know, we've got 10 trucks operating this device from Spire. It's a local company. I've known the gentleman that started the company and is the, I guess, inventor, developer of the product. You know, I've known him long before he ever came up with this product, which probably why, being in the business we're in, you know, he came to us to try it out. You know, I think we're on third or fourth year of, you know, since we put on the first one of these. You know, it's a, you know, it's a basically in a simplistic form, it takes the exhaust and uses some of the chemistry and the chemicals in the exhaust put back into the engine to improve combustion. You know, obviously the first goal was to improve fuel economy. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on with that device that has a positive impact on fuel economy. So at times we're seeing very strong gains there. You know, at other times, you know, the environment, you know, whether it's temperature or, you know, climbing or, you know, things like that, you know, the fuel, the impact on fuel economy is a little bit, minimized. But one thing that's been very consistent is the reduction in the emissions that these trucks are putting out, which if they're putting out fewer emissions, you know, some of the mechanical aspects of the truck are seeing the benefits of that, like, you know, having to get the diesel particulate filter cleaned quite as, doesn't need cleaning quite as often. You know, we don't do as good a job as I would like to as far as tracking our DEF usage, but the drivers that are driving these trucks all report that since the device has been put on, they're using much less DEF, which makes sense. You know, as if the engine doesn't need to regen as much, you know, there's not as much need for the diesel exhaust fluid. You know, so, you know, and it's, you know, it's something that, you know, still being developed. You know, certainly a long ways, you know, to go there to make us a product you walk in and buy off your truck stop shelf, you know, and installing your truck. But, you know, it's getting close, you know, and I think, you know, it won't be long before, you know, the successes are validated for that product and it becomes more known, you know, throughout the industry. So, you know, so being on that show gave us a chance to talk about that as well as some of the other initiatives, you know, we're talking about here, the potential use of the electric refrigeration units on the trailers. You know, certainly, you know, as a long haul, medium haul, cross country trucking company, you know, that is one place we feel that, you know, we can, you know, make a difference, you know, because, you know, whether it's solar or the regenerative axles, regenerative braking on the axles, you know, that the technology is there. You know, so it, you know, being able to talk about that, you know, certainly a welcomed opportunity.
I think the producer is going to play for us the that video clip for the that you did for.
A little bit about, you know, kind of your story in this, right? Why does sustainability matter to you? Is this just a business climate changing, or are you truly, you know, maybe not a climate alarmist, but where are your interests in this lie?
You know, it's, you know, I have several several interests. You know, first off, you know, I have grandchildren, you know, so, you know, providing a safe and healthy future for them and their generation is important to me. But also, you know, it's an industry image, you know, the old visual of a truck going down the road, blowing black smoke. You know, that's not what we want to be viewed as. You know, we want to be, you know, viewed as, you know, a contributing member of the society that's, you know, doing the right thing, you know, and cutting our emissions and, you know, putting safe equipment on the road that, you know, doesn't pollute. You know, so, you know, it's, you know, it's part of that. Plus, you know, in a selfish way, you know, the younger people want to work for companies, you know, that, you know, are doing the right things. You know, they're not interested in, you know, working for old school mentality that, you know, that's the way it's always been. It's not going to change, you know. So, you know, we feel, you know, we, you know, want to create an environment where, you know, all generations, you know, are happy and comfortable coming to work. And, you know, and, you know, the generation coming out of college now, they want to work, you know, and feel that the places they're working have the right purpose in line with their values. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think that's, you know, great. You know, it's, they got a lot of great ideas and, you know, they kind of maybe push us outside of our comfort zone, but in a good way.
Definitely. You got to adapt. That's the name of the game and always has been the name of the game. You mentioned industry image, you know, with the smoke blowing out the top of the stack. It makes me think, like, I hope this industry doesn't turn into, you know, the Philip Morris tobacco industries of the past that were vilified, right? We've got to work on staying current with new regulations and what the customers are really asking for us and not get stuck in the way we've always done it, because it just is. So I'm glad that you and Leonard's are helping have this conversation and help drive industry forward.
Well, that was a great interview there, Ken.
Thank you.
You know, folks can learn more about Leonard's Express sustainability initiative from our own Max Herbst. He's in our sustainability committee. Kevin, you've been great today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. This was fun, and maybe we can do another one sometime.
That'd be great.
Well, that's a wrap for this edition of Leading the Way at Leonard's. If you have a question or feedback, we'd love to hear from you at leadingtheway@leonardsexpress.com. That's leading the way, all one word, at leonardsexpress.com. And please don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to the podcast. I'm your host, Dwayne Knepper. And until the next time, keep on trucking.
We're running 18 wheels down that open highway. We drive on through the night so you can have it your way. With the angels up the highway, bring hope across this land. Success through service, it's all part of the plan. We're settled for nothing less. We're Leonard's Express.